We welcome in Dan Kangurski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Dan, we've been following this story today, not on hockey, but on potential meteor or perhaps alien activity in our region. Have you been up to date with what's going on?
You know, I just saw it for the first time about an hour ago, and there's only one answer whenever you ask anything like that, and the answer is aliens.
Do you believe in aliens?
Is
that a personal question?
To?
Is that too personal of a question anymore?
It kind of makes me feel weird to say I would like to. I certainly get a kick out of the History Channel and all of the goofiness on there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, sure, why not? Stephen Hawking did, so I'll go with him.
All right. That's a reliable source, I think. So that's good. Dan, are the Penguins going to play a hockey game again? Is this game tomorrow going to happen?
Yeah, I think it was solidified today. I mean, now look, whatever is true right now might not be true tomorrow morning when they do another round of testing, of course, right? But especially today with Marino and Matheson and Dom Simone coming back, they're going to have enough defensemen. They already had enough forwards. So, yeah, it looks like they'll play tomorrow.
The interesting thing to me is, you know, they had, what was it, 5 games in a row canceled. Or postponed, I should say. And they weren't really the ones at fault there. And now they have COVID themselves, but they're going to have to jump back in and play. How is the league going to go about making up these missed games? I mean, are they just going to try to plug them in where they can find holes in the schedule? Or, I mean, are we going to run into a situation here where, you know, we're trying to cram games in here in the back half of the season that are makeups? How is that going to work? And are the players in particular going to be on board with having to, you know, cram games in and back-to-backs and all that?
There is no public plan yet from the NHL. Obviously, they've got, you know, a 2.5-week hole in the schedule in February, but arenas had already been booking events to keep their revenues up during those 2.5 weeks. So just my gut feeling, and this isn't having heard anything, but my gut feeling is it's probably chaos in the NHL offices trying to figure all of this out. You know, okay, this team is available, you know, these 3 days, but the arena's not, but this team isn't available. You know, they're really going to be hitting a nightmare that is not going to make anybody happy. The teams are all going to play about every other day, March, April, and into early May. So there's really no room there. And if you start plugging in games into May, in March and April, you're going to start seeing teams play 3 games in 4 days or, you know, 4 and 6. And it's going to be just a brutal grind, which probably doesn't benefit teams with aging superstars, let's say. I don't know what they're going to do. And, you know, I do know that no one's going to be happy.
You mentioned aging superstars, and of course, we all know, I think, who you're referring to in Pittsburgh's case. Evgeny Malkin, obviously, is getting close to returning, it seems. What's the prognosis like? When do you expect Malkin to be back? And I guess my biggest question with this is, how is Malkin going to fit back into a team that's playing very well without him?
Well, he fits in very well with the team. There won't be, you know, there will be an adjustment period.
Yeah.
Whenever any player comes back after months, you know, there's always that little bit of a sag and everybody says, well, they were playing better. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You never know about that. I would expect to see Malkin back, let's call it next weekend. I think that's probably, or I should say by next weekend, we'll see him back. On Thursday, he said 7 to 10 days. So that puts it right, you know, right there in the wheelhouse. Josh, he's looking better and better every day at practice. On Thursday, he did that little kick move, or maybe it was Friday. All my days run together. But that little move where he goes around the defenseman, like pulling the puck into his skates and then kicking it to his forehand and kind of, you know, just all in full stride. He pulled that off and then went, you know, behind the net and looked for someone to pass to. Yeah, he's getting there. The confidence in his abilities and in his legs looks like it's there.
Is there an expectation when he is back who his line mates might be? I mean, obviously, this could possibly change dramatically given COVID and who's in and out of the lineup. But if they're able to get set on a, you know, a solid group in place and everyone's healthy, Where does Malkin go, and who flanks him, I guess?
I think given how good he and Kasperi Kapanen were last season, before Malkin got hurt on March 16th, Kapanen had 14 points in 14 games. Those two were just a hot knife through butter. So I think coaches will be eager to try to jumpstart Kapanen's season with Malkin. You know, Jeff Carter and Evan Rodriguez and Jason Zucker have played together, and Carter and Zucker have kind of been maybe the duo that Sullivan has built around so far this season. So I'd expect to see Zucker stay with Carter, and they'll fill that left wing beside Malkin with maybe, you know, Evan Rodriguez, or I'm not sure maybe who else they would fill it with besides him. But they have choices, though, and that's maybe a lost talking point in all of this, is the depth the Penguins have or are going to have is pretty spectacular.
And I think part of that depth is, right, because guys are stepping up that maybe weren't entirely expected to play the roles that they're playing. The Danton Heinens of the world, the Evan Rodriguez's of the world. I think a lot of credit, A, has to go to Mike Sullivan, but, you know, you bring in a new management group, you know, last year as well with Ron Hextall and company, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for just kind of sticking with what they had here and just adding smaller pieces instead of going out and doing anything significant. Do those guys, I think, maybe deserve a little bit more recognition for what they maybe didn't do?
Well, things have certainly worked. And in this world, when your actions work, you're a genius. Now, they didn't necessarily only want to bring in Danton Heinen and Evan Rodriguez on these bargain contracts. But as they quickly realized, what was it, July 28th was free agency last year, or, you know, thereabouts, whatever it was. They quickly realized that the prices were silly again. And it was too rich for their blood. And they readjusted on the fly, and they quickly, you know, kind of found their lane with those guys. So do they deserve credit? Absolutely. Let's see what they do now. Let's see what Ron Hextall does coming to the NHL trade deadline here. I think it's in early March. I'm not sure of dates anymore or what they're going to do with all that stuff. But, you know, let's see what this team looks like for that stretch run. And then I guess we get to, you know, assess a full season for those guys.
You mentioned the trade deadline. I mean, obviously they could, if they needed to improve before then, they could swing a trade. Is there an area in particular that they need to get better at via trade?
Well, sure. I mean, you can always get a little better at the trade deadline. I think the Penguins' pressing need would be a little bit more from the back end. With all respect to Chad Ruedel, 3 assists to this point, and I think one of those was added later on, or whenever he picked up the third one, I'm not sure. But, you know, the third pairing is kind of bland. You know, the Penguins aren't getting enough goal production from their defensemen. They're one of the lowest goal-scoring blue lines in the NHL. They definitely need to pick that up a little bit, so a little bit more push on the backside would certainly be appreciated. Or they can go a different direction and upgrade it with maybe a road clearer, you know, a road grader for Tristan Jarry. So this one to clear the crease and keep his eyes clean. I think, you know, that's where the Penguins probably could do the most upgrading.
Talking with Dan Kangurski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Dan, we mentioned Evan Rodriguez, 23 points in 30 games. Is this just a good 30-game stretch in an otherwise just so-so player's career, or has he really kind of turned the corner? Is there staying power, do you think, with what Rodriguez has brought to the lineup?
You know, that's a great question, and I certainly wouldn't bet my bottom dollar either way. However, what I have seen is that this is a turning point. This is a little bit of a being unleashed. This is kind of a Brian Rust awakening moment, so to speak. And what he's doing, you know, it's not luck. He's shooting the puck. Heaven forbid, you know, guys shoot the puck. I mean, Rodriguez had, 12 shots against Montreal, followed that up with 9 shots against Buffalo a few nights later there in mid-December. And he's not shooting from the rafters. He's getting himself into the good areas for these shots. And that is probably the biggest thing that tells you this is not a fluke. He's playing well on the wall. When he gets the puck on the boards, he's taking it to the offensive zones. He's getting between the dots. He's setting up his line mates. He's dishing to Crosby or Gensel. He was as much a part of Crosby and Gensel's scoring streaks as anyone. So I think you take those things, those little things that he's doing. I would lean towards this is something that we're going to see a lot of. Now, if he goes down to the third or fourth line, he's not going to put up, 23 points in 30 games. Mm-hmm. But, he's certainly a capable NHL player now, and I think he's established himself.
Final thing for you, Dan. Tristan Jarry obviously has been putting up just amazing numbers so far this year. You mentioned guys turning the corner. It seems like that's happened for him, and he's been able to maybe shake off some of the issues that he's had. Is it believable, I guess, first things first? Is he truly this caliber of goaltender now? Or like a Rodriguez, as I mentioned, is it just a blip on the radar with him? And should the Penguins and their fans, I think in particular, because they're going to be the ones that certainly doubt Tristan Jarry until he proves otherwise, is it time to now believe that Tristan Jarry is a guy that can carry the Penguins through multiple playoff series?
Sure. I mean, if you have to bet on somebody, you certainly would want to bet on Tristan Jarry. I mean, he had a similar run in 2019-20. Remember, he went to the All-Star game, and he was bubbling around a 930 save percentage at that point as well. Look, he's a very talented goalie. We've all known that. There's a little bit of an edge to him this year. He's a little more confident, even in dealing with the media. He doesn't shrink like he used to. I mean, he's still giving the same sort of stock answers, but he's veering from them a little bit, and he's kind of growing in that. And that all comes from confidence, maybe a little chip on his shoulder to deal with the adversity of the playoff debacle of last season. All of those things. I would be shocked if this was a flash. Now, I don't see a goalie posting a 932 save percentage in this NHL, but surely a 920, 925 is a great number to put up, and I think he's more than capable.
Yeah, it's been, I think, you talk about seven wins in a row, it's a lot of Tristan Jarry playing very well in that. Dan, are you a pork and sauerkraut guy?
No. Dear Lord, what is this tradition? I don't get that around. Like, oh, no, keep it. You can have all you want.
So my mom is from the South. She's from Tennessee, and they have a tradition of eating black-eyed peas on New Year's Day. So I have sauerkraut.
That sounds even worse.
I have sauerkraut and black-eyed peas she dropped off at the house while I'm on the air here that's waiting for me, and I'm not particularly excited about either of them. So
I'd stay on the air till midnight.
Maybe they'll let me. Maybe. I got to call some people, but maybe they'll let me. Dan, thank you, and Happy New Year to you. And you know what? I hope you get to go cover a hockey game tomorrow.
Me too. Thanks a lot, Josh.
All right, Dan Kangurski joining us. Check out Dan's work, Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Does a great job covering the Pens.